Thank you for joining us on the Waymaker Church podcast today. We hope this inspires you, builds your faith, and makes a way for the new and deeper with Jesus Christ in your life. Enjoy.
Happy Mother's Day. We are so glad you're here. I am so thankful for my mom and my mother-in-law and just the example that they even play in this church. They serve at this local church and they are approaching their 70s. They could check out, but they don't, and they lean in and they keep serving. And so I'm just really grateful for their example. I also want to celebrate the moms in the room. I want you to celebrate your mom. And even if your mom is no longer with us here on earth, she is still worth celebrating. And so we're going to celebrate those moms. I am so grateful just to see the women in our church who have walked through infertility and are now a mother and raising a child. And so God has done some really remarkable miracles in this church. Can we just celebrate that and rejoice with those women? I know there's been miscarriages and now you have a family. But I also know Mother's Day can be so hard. And it's this just conflict every Mother's Day. Because there's women who are still walking out infertility, or God has never given them a child. Or there is that mother that has passed away tragically. Or maybe your mom's walking through cancer, and it's just really hard to celebrate Mother's Day. And so I want to say that at Waymaker Church, we will celebrate with the moms, and we will rejoice with those moms, but we will also, with the moms who are able to have kids, but we will mourn with those who are mourning right now. And so you are not alone, and we lift you up today, and we are praying for you today, just as a staff, that you will find joy today in our living Father, right? Okay, so we are going to jump in today, and we're going to be in Isaiah 54. Last Mother's Day, I was coming out of a season of just struggle with my own two adult children who had miscarriages. And there is nothing like grieving with your children, and you're trying to find hope for them, but also it's just so hard. And my daughter is still trying. And that's hard. It's hard to watch your children desire something that God has yet to fulfill. And so today, I know that it's not just infertility that people struggle with. I know that there are men and women here who have had a job loss, or there is something that you, a natural desire that God's given you, maybe to be married, and God has yet to give that to you. Maybe there's a broken relationship that you want mended so bad, but that has yet to come. And so today we are going to talk about, what do we do with the barren seasons and the seasons that we are in the waiting, or even loss? What do we do through those seasons? And what's the bigger picture of that? And so in Isaiah is a prophet, and he, throughout the book of Isaiah, there's this prophecy of judgment on the nation of Israel, and then there's the prophecy of hope for the nation of Israel. And we see what is happening with Israel. They have rebelled against God, and they are in exile at the point that we're getting ready to read. And it seems like not a great season for them. It doesn't seem very hope-filled. And Isaiah is prophesying the coming of Jesus in Isaiah 53. And so there's this hope that this group of people have. And in this passage, the Lord is personifying Israel as his wife, okay? And so we have to know, if you are a believer in this room, you are the bride of Christ. You are the bride of Christ. If you are a man and you are a believer, you are the bride of Christ. You're not eliminated from that, right? And so when we're reading through these scriptures, we can see a parallel of maybe what God is speaking to us this time. So we're going to start in Isaiah 54, 1, and it says, "Sing, O barren one who did not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not been in labor." By the way, I'm in the ESV translation, if you were curious, and you're like, wait a minute, what's going on here? I'm in ESV. So, and then it goes on to say, "For the children of the desolate one will be more than the children of her who is married, says the Lord." So we see this promise that the Lord is going to do something in the nation of Israel that seems like it's going to take a miracle to do that. But first, I want to give the definition of barrenness that I'm using today. It is a desire that is natural and often divine that God has yet to fulfill. So in Israel, a barren woman experienced a ton of grief and shame. And I love how the Lord just comes to her and says, "You, O barren one, sing and cry aloud." There is this permission that he is giving to all of us that when we are in a state of, "Why, God? Why? Like, have you abandoned me? I don't see the fruit of what's getting ready to happen. Whatever you're up to, it doesn't seem good to me. Why, God?" And he comes into the grief and into the shame, and he transforms that. He redeems that. And we're going to see that. But he redeems that and shows Israel there is so much more. But I want to hit on the two words, the sing and cry aloud. Singing is a joyful thing, and we just did it. It's like we are going to give God the glory, and we are going to walk in a joyful spirit, the spirit of joy. But then we also see in here the crying aloud. And crying aloud, like when you go down and define that, it's like this bellowing, this deep grief. It's almost like this groaning, like you have no words, and you are grieving over this season of barrenness in your life, whatever it is, this loss, this waiting spirit or waiting season of your life. And God says, have joy in your bellowing. Like you can do both of those things. So joy and grief should coexist. And I believe as the church, we have done a disservice where we tell people, just go have the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Remember that? Let's ignore what's going on in your life. And you should just get past this. No. That grieving and bellowing and crying out to God is what he's asking. And maybe this morning, that is your assignment, is to bellow before the Lord right up here with your safe family of Waymaker and let us get around you this morning. And maybe your assignment this morning is, I know I'm in a season and I've been bellowing a whole lot, but God is asking me to have joy in this season. And so maybe you are going to be asked from God to just give a shout of praise today to him. But it's really important that we understand that both joy and grief can coexist. And what we see in that last passage, that for the children of the desolate one will be more than the children of her who is married. So we can see that there is a miracle of multiplication that is going to happen in the nation of Israel. There is a miracle of multiplication that God wants to do through your story. And it may not be 100 children or even a child, but he wants to multiply what he is doing in your life, and he can and he will, and that is what he is up to. So we're going to move on to verse 2. It says, "Enlarge the place of your tent and let the curtains of your habitations be stretched out. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes." God is saying, I want you to enlarge the place of your tent. I have, it says in one translation, think big. There is something more than the chaos and the barrenness in your life right now. There is more. Do you believe that, Waymaker Church? Do you believe that God has more on the other side of your situation right now? And if you don't believe it, somebody next to you needs to speak that life over you. Sing, right? Sing that over you. Enlarge the place of your tent. So there was this lady who I heard the story from, and she was walking through infertility. And I think it's just a beautiful picture of what I believe God wants all of us to see. Okay, so she's walking into this vision that God gave her was this huge garden. This beautiful garden of like flowers and fruit and trees. And she's walking down the path and it's just beautiful. It's just breathtaking. And then he takes her over to this path. And right inside that garden was this bare spot in her life. And in that bare spot was this little stone, this marker. And it said infertility. And God said, you have been so focused on this spot that you have missed the beautiful landscape of this garden. You've missed it. And yes, this is a part of the garden. And what is important for us to know is that God's not asking us to deny that barren spot exists in our life, or that we should just accept it. Oh, okay, yep. I'm just going to sit here. And this is just what it is. No, it's still in the garden, but he wants us to find joy and assignment in the bigger picture that he is doing in our life. He wants us to enlarge the place of our tent. The next is, do not hold back. And I think that there's a lot of reasons why we hold back on accepting that God has more to our situation, to our barrenness, to our waiting season, to our loss. And I don't know that anybody can say that they haven't experienced loss in their life or even just deep grief in their life. And so when we experience that, what would hold us back from seeing the bigger picture and enlarging our tents, right? And enlarging the space of like what we believe God can do. And here's three things. The first one is our identity. Sometimes we can find identity in our pain. Ouch. Like, you know, we probably do a better job pointing at other people than ourselves, so we'll just point at other people this morning during this point. But you know those people who just go, oh, like this is my story, and it's so sad. And they have everything on them looks like they are walking in the identity of whatever their grief is. So let's do a self-reflection and go, do we get into a place where we just want to identify with our pain instead of opening our mind and heart to more? The next is fear. Sometimes we fear of being let down by God. If we hope or prepare for whatever God has next, we fear it may never happen. This can hold us back. And the last one and the biggest one is unbelief. I believe that there is a spirit of unbelief even in this house. And I know that I experience it, and it really disrupts the flow of the Holy Spirit and what he wants to do in our life. And so I know that there will be people this morning that need to confess unbelief. Unbelief. We don't really believe that God wants to redeem this particular area of our life. Okay, so I'm going to take a risk, And maybe it's not a really bad risk. We'll see. I'd like for you to stand up. And right now, I would love for you to get with a few people. And I would like for you guys to identify one of these that you maybe have walked in. Identity, you found your identity in your pain, fear of being let down by God, or unbelief. And as a group of two or three, I want you to pray over one another. If you do not feel comfortable with this, it's okay. I'm gonna let you off the hook. You can sit down and pray to yourself. But I would love to see a movement of God right now, and that is us praying over one another and the areas of our life that hold us back from walking in a victorious season. So let's do that for just a minute. Okay, as you guys finish up, I'm just going to pray over us. Father, I just pray for the spirit of unbelief that's in this room. I cast it out in the name of Jesus. God, I believe that you can redeem all things that are broken in this room, relationships that are broken, things that are not mended yet. God, will you redeem that? Will you redeem the stories of the people who go, I don't know what's next in my life, God. God, I pray for those people who find their identity in their pain. God, will you release that chain and that bondage that's happening right now, Father? I pray for just a release of that, God. And I cast out all fear in the name of Jesus from this place. God, I believe that you can and will do great things despite our limited understanding of who you are. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so this next part is strengthen your stakes. Strengthen your stakes. When it says strengthen your stakes, this doesn't mean it will be easy. When you strengthen anything, when you go work out, I hate working out. Hate it. But I just want to be strong. And you know those girls that have like all of the things, the muscles? Yeah, and they're like this, and you're like, oh, I want that arm. Yes, it takes work, and I don't love it. But it also takes work to strengthen our emotional and physical and mental being. Like, to strengthen our stakes, it's going to take some effort. And so first, I wanted to just talk about the mental. We've got to get real, and we got to get renewed. Get real with where you're taking the cues from the world. I think we can even be blinded and we justify how we take cues from the world because we're saturated with the world. And so we can't help but take cues from the world. But Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to the ways of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That by testing, you may discern what is the will of God. Renewing our minds. Taking cues from God and God's word instead of the world. The next one is obey right away. Walk in obedience. Jeremiah 7:23 says, but this command I give them, obey my voice and I will be your God and you shall be my people. And walk in all the way that I command you, that it may be well with you. Obeying right away, that's a hard discipline to start if you haven't. It's like when God tells you to go do something, you do it right away. And there's a strengthening that happens. And it's likely uncomfortable. It's just like what you just did. It's uncomfortable to like, I always get onto John. I'm like, do we really have to get together and pray? Do you have to do that all the time? Because that's really uncomfortable, right? Like, I didn't know the people today, but I got to know some new friends. Like, maybe they were first service. Anyway, they were sitting right over here. But there's something that's strengthening when we obey right away. And so it's important that when you hear God's voice, we take action. That helps our physical reaction to what God has for us. And then the next one is worship without fear. Worship is a weapon. Guys, when we worship God, despite our circumstances, there is something great that happens. There is a transformation. It even transforms our mind and our heart. There's a posture of worship. And so when we finish today, which I have some friends that are going to be coming and joining me on stage, and after the panel, we are going to worship, and we are going to worship like unabandoned worship. Like, I'm not holding back, God, because you deserve our praise. And so that might be your challenge today. And I said that earlier, that the worship through your hard season, it really does transform your mind and get you ready for what God has next. And the doors may open, but I want you to know the doors don't always open the way we want them to, right? And you're going to see that in the panel. Like, these are stories of women who have suffered. And their story did not end, or is not where, it's not the outcome right now where they wanted it to be. If they envisioned their life 20 years ago or 40 years ago, it is not what they envisioned. But they are people who God just pointed them out as people who said, you know what? Yes, I have this barren spot, but I am going to work the freaking garden, right? I'm going to go out there and I'm going to walk in my calling that Jesus has. Like, I've gotten my head about that. Sorry, guys. Anyway, we're going to pull it back. The garden, and we're going to work the garden. And they are women who have said, despite my circumstances, I will worship the Lord and I will work for the Lord. And I just believe that they are representations of they're an inspiration to me. And what we can say today is that God is our Redeemer. He redeems Israel, and He can redeem your life today. So I'm going to ask, let me start with you, Teresa. Come on up. So I'm going to tell you about each one of these ladies. Teresa. Oh, that's going to make me cry. Okay. So this is my friend Teresa. She has served in counseling for, I gave her 20 years first service. I think it might be 17, but you know what? Let's just add three more, right? And she is retiring as our counseling director this month. And so as a church, can we just take a moment to honor her? You got a gift too. We are so thankful for you. And this is the hard part. Teresa suffered from infertility. The Lord never blessed you with your own children. But I would say that this Mother's Day, He has made you a mother of a multitude of children. And I know that God has redeemed your story. And you're going to talk about it today, right? And she's a brave woman because she has not been to Mother's Day at church in a very long time. She used to feel the pressure to come. And then she's like, I don't need that pressure. We're not going to do that, right? You're doing it for other people. And it was like, that's just not going to be. But she is here today because her story is likely going to minister to many people in this room. So thank you, Teresa. Okay, Emma. You can sit wherever. You can go back to, yeah, it doesn't matter. Okay, this is Emma. She is my niece. I call her my sister a lot because I think we're the same age. I know. I get it confused. It's not because I think I look young. It's just because I get confused. I don't know. I'm always like, our brother. Yeah, my brother is truly my brother. It's her dad. So Emma has, as a young girl, she had two things that you wanted to be, right? A wife and a mom. And then you had a calling to missions. And what I love about her story is God has not yet, we're still waiting, to fulfill that mom and wife calling. But she is, for Waymaker Church, our missions mobilizer, which means in the next few years, you're going to see a lot of people sent out the door, and it's going to be because of her. You can blame her. But it's also a great thing that she has a heart for the nations. And she is a person who said, no matter what my life looks like, I'm going to walk out my calling. And so can we just give it up for Emma right now? Yeah. And my friend Robin. Yeah, come on up here, girl. Robin and I met the day that her son Elisha was hit by a car. And you were part of Waymaker Church, but we hadn't met. And I remember meeting you in the hospital. And this woman fueled my faith as she suffered and wept and truly had joy and grief and the bellowing and all of that. And we're going to talk about that all at the same time. And Robin, so her motherhood does not look the way that you had expected. Am I right?
Correct.
Yeah, that's not what she set out, is to raise a child with special needs. But Elisha is he is such a joy. And if you got to know him, I mean, he is just this beaming light. And I know that that is because the joy of the Lord lives in your home, and you live that out. And Robin preaches and teaches wherever. And then she also has an awesome I think it's TikTok. Yep, social media. And she's got a lot of followers. And she uses her story with Elisha to minister to a lot of people. So she is here today. I want you to know that all three of these women, this is not easy. So if you think that like they've arrived, they haven't arrived in their grief, right? And we cried together this past week, but they all had an obedient, they obey right away, they had an obedient yes. And God used them during first service, and I believe he will for this service too. So let's give it up for these women. Y'all ready? Okay, so Teresa, I would love for you to tell us about that threshold moment when God got your attention. And even how old were you? Like what season was that? So let me mention, we have somebody in their 20s, their 40s, and their 60s, and they're all leading in dynamic ways. So it doesn't matter how old you are, God wants to use you, okay? And he never stops using you, okay? So, all right, Teresa.
And many years had passed, and I was feeling abandoned, lost, hopeless, forgotten. And so one day, I'm seeing all my friends have children and be able to have that joy and that excitement in their lives, and I realized I didn't have that. And so what ended up happening is that I'm in my kitchen one day screaming. And I mean literally screaming at the top of my lungs. It was so unfair. I was just screaming. And then all of a sudden, I heard this voice in my head. And this voice said to me, "You fair weather friend, are you going to only follow me when I give you what you want?" And it had such impact in my life, I fell to my knees because I realized two things in that moment. One is I lost total awesomeness of my salvation by diminishing God. The other one is he's worthy to be worshiped regardless of my circumstance, which of course never changed. throughout my life. And so because of that, I thought, fair weather, I better learn what faithfulness looks like. So what I did is I memorized Hebrews chapters 11 and 12. And Hebrews 11 talks about, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And then it goes through all the patriarchs of the faith. And when it came to Abraham, and he was going to be sacrificing Isaac, it said this little verse that came in there, it said, Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. And I just thought, it had never been done before. And that he actually kind of, it was natural to reason that about God. And I realized at that moment that he knew something about God that I needed to pursue and find out. And so that was my journey of going on to pursuing God's character. Anybody that's counseled with me, anybody that knows me, I'll say, your circumstances will change, the roller coaster ride, you can get on and off of it. But the fact is that we need to know who God is to be able to be our stabilizer. And so he was showing me his faithfulness at that time.
That's so good.
Thank you. Thanks.
Okay, so Robin, I would love for you to just unpack the, you mentioned something with the bellowing and the joy, and we kind of briefly talked about it, but can you just unpack that, and then in peace, like how did you find that peace?
Sure. I think, you know, it all goes back to knowing the Lord, and when I went in, I saw my baby laying in the middle of the road, in his blood, right, and like not awake. And I thought to myself, this is not who I know you to be, God. And I know you. I know you. I know you. Mm-hmm. I know you. And I ended up, it was like I was on the precipice every day up between having peace and falling to pieces. I mean, it was like 1 minute, yes, I have peace. The next minute, the doctors came in and said he had a stroke. And then it's like fall to pieces. And then the next minute, peace. And so as time has gone on, and it's almost 12 years after his accident, I feel like that the consistency of the peace has increased more than the falling to pieces. But I would like to say that I still have those days of falling to pieces almost 12 years later, right? I want my son to say, I love you, Mom. I want my son to wrap his arms around me in a voluntary way and tell me he loves me. And so I think sometimes, especially for me, I think I got stuck at times in the question of why. Like, why did this happen? And the reason why I wanted the answer was because I needed to know who or what to blame, right? And I would say that the Lord was calling me to a new place and saying, I want you to think higher above this. You know, his thoughts are not our thoughts. Think on me and know that, remember who I am. Remember, I'm with you. I haven't left you. Remember my nature. Remember my power. Remember my might. And be okay with not understanding the why, right? That's gray area. And I think that what God is teaching us is kind of like what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. It says, you know, that we look into a mirror and we see a dim reflection. We don't see the full picture. But it also says, I may not know, I only know in part, but I am fully known. I am fully known. So I don't know the whole story, but I'm known by an eternal God. And then the last thing it says that, but now remains these three things, faith, hope, and love. I have faith in the nature of God, hope in eternity, right? And three, I have love because now I know faith. I know who I'm having faith in. I know what my hope is secured to. I'm able to love because the greatest of these is love. And if I can't do the first two, the third is going to be a lot more difficult, right?
I love when you said, like, there's this gray. And as, I mean, humans and Americans, we don't like gray, right? We We want to know exactly. We want to be all knowing, right? But we aren't all knowing. And I love that you made that point. And it's so, yeah. Okay. So good. I won't camp on that too long. Okay. So the next one is, Teresa, tell me how you have gotten out of a self-focused, like being self-focused. I mean, it'd be hard to not be self-focused in your situation.
There's a passage in Isaiah 50 that talks about fire lighters, and that you, in order to trust in the Lord, you need to not know necessarily where your path is. He's going to put your path. But he talks about the idea, the fire lighter, when you light your own path, you are going to lay down in torment. And so what I needed to do in this moment is realize, okay, as much as I don't want to be here, nor do I want anybody else to walk in it. I wouldn't want this on anybody else. But it could be someone's path. I know it was mine. And so I had to trust that this is what God wanted me to walk in. And if this is a trustworthy God, then I had to put my faith in that and move from this barren spot and look to what other things that I could have. And that means rejoicing with women, mm-hmm. other women that could
That's
bear
hard.
Children.
Yeah, you talk about like the baby showers and
yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And even now with most of my friends having grandchildren now. Mm-hmm. And going to weddings, the grief does not stop. I always will grieve what will never be. And so in those moments, just like you said, you know, you grieve, you bellow, and then you move on, mm-hmm. you know, and then you get the joy. So you weep with those that weep and rejoice with those rejoice. So I look outward now rather than so inward.
Mm-hmm. That's so good. So Emma, I know that your unique situation up here is that you're in a waiting season. And like, I would love for you to just talk about the perceived goodness of God based on earthly expectations.
Yeah. And I think it kind of starts with what you were talking about, Teresa, just knowing like the grief that is there. And I was the type of person that people would ask me, how are you doing? And I was like, I'm good. Like, I'm always good. And I started to realize like, I don't actually know how I'm doing. And I'm just saying that I'm good, but I haven't taken the time yeah. to slow down and see that I actually feel anguish and I feel grief and I feel frustration. And I started to see, like, as I would give that to the Lord, it's this beautiful exchange that he would take those emotions, and they're very real and they're still there, but he would also give joy in place of that. And I was able to walk with still grieving what has not been, but still also walk with joy in that as well. Mm. And also, like, that process of God teaching me that started to show me my perspective of his goodness was skewed. And I think a lot of us can fall into this where we think his goodness is the house or the family or the car, the job, good health, which those are good things, but what we can see is so much smaller than what God is actually doing. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like God is withholding from me because he's not giving me these good things. But in actuality, he is what is good. And I can't fully see that. And so even though I feel like maybe he's withholding, I lack nothing because maybe it is in his goodness that he is withholding or not giving something, or maybe it is in his goodness that we have the diagnosis or the job loss, because he is doing all of those things or allowing those things to draw us near to him and draw us closer to him because he loves us and wants a relationship yeah. with us, and that is where his true goodness lies.
Yeah, like he just desires a relationship with us. Yeah, so good. So good. Okay, so Teresa, back to you. I would love, in our final couple minutes, for you to share how have you seen God redeem that pain in your life?
Yeah, those defining moments in my life really had a huge impact on me. I realized that in spite of me, God still gave me a calling that was worthy. And that I wasn't lacking just because I couldn't have children. And so it was really difficult. I had to look at the blessings of my life. I have a wonderful husband. I had first service, many of my friends came, and I've got my small group people here, and everybody supported me. I have a church family that I love and love to invest in that I know that loves me. I also have a great ministry. I love my ministry. I still love my ministry.
It's still available if you want to stay.
And I still will be a part of it. I'll still be a part of it. Yeah. But I love that. And I have a heart and a passion for people. And so, and then the other thing that I love to, that I get to be a part of is that I get to be a part of other women's lives that have experienced having children, and I get to be a part of that. And that doesn't mean I'm lacking or there's anything wrong with me. And that is the beautiful thing about God, is that that is his redemption in my life.
So good.
That's a redemption.
Yeah. So as we close, Emma, I would love for you to share about what God showed you personally this week in Psalms 23. And I just think I was so inspired by it, and I believe it's a good word for somebody here. So can you unpack that?
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm sure for many of you, Psalm 23 is such a comforting passage, right? It's a classic go-to. And what's so amazing about God and his word is that we can read something 20, 40, hundreds of times, but he can reveal something new every time because his word is living and active. And so I was reading through Psalm 23, and this was a few months ago. The Lord just gave me this revelation of, you know, it starts by saying, the Lord is my shepherd. He leads me, or he guides me to green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. All of that saying, he guides me, he leads me, he, like, him, far off, like that guy at a distance. But then when it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And it changes, it goes from he to being a little impersonal to when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it becomes a you, a personal relationship of you. I know you, I have a relationship with you. And I think that's so beautiful because it's not until we walk through that valley that we really see Jesus in a more personal nature.
It's hard, isn't it? So, it's hard to walk through the valley of the shadow of death.
Yeah.
But he...
Mm-hmm. But through that's where we see him and develop that closer relationship.
So good. Yeah. Can you give it up for these ladies? So I know that there are people who have not resonated yet with the good shepherd. You have not made a decision to believe in and follow Jesus. And so I just want to take a moment because I believe those who have not made a decision to believe and follow Jesus, when you make that decision, you will be able to worship differently. You will, you don't even know what's on the other side of that barren spot because you don't know the Creator. You have not made that decision. And so I want to give just a time for you to walk through a prayer with me and receive Jesus. And begin that relationship with him. So if everybody can just close your eyes, heads bowed, and if this is you, I would love to walk through this prayer with you right now. And you can just repeat after me to yourself, Lord Jesus, I know I am a sinner, but I know you are the Savior. I call out who you are. You are Savior, who died on the cross for my sin and rose again from the dead. He has risen. Now come into my life. I choose to follow you from this moment forward. Thank you for hearing this prayer and answering this prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. With all heads still bowed and eyes closed, I just want this to be a sacred moment for those of you who have made this decision And I would love to just know who you are. So if you could just lift your hand and raise your hand and let me and our care team see it. You are not alone. This is a new day for you. Just lift your hand up in the air so I can see it. Okay. If you prayed that prayer, I would love for you to text the word made new to 55498. If you're online or you're in the room and I missed your hand, I'd love for you to just text that word so that we can journey with you today. You can lift your heads, and I'd love for you to stand. We are going to worship now because worship is our weapon. And I want to read a passage of scripture, and it says, "For your maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your redeemer." If you are a believer and follower of Jesus today, you can say that Jesus is my redeemer. He redeems all things. He redeems the broken and the barren spots and the loss and the grief and the story that he wants to tell through you. He has redeemed that. He is redeemer, and he is the God of the whole earth. He is called. We are going to worship, and there's this new song we're introducing, and it's called Worthy of My Song. And I want us to worship God. If you are, like, we go back through the message, right? If you are someone who needs to just bellow, come forward and bellow and cry aloud. If you are in a season where God has done some really incredible things, come and bring joy and worship. And maybe he hasn't yet, and you're going to stand in joy, because joy and grief can coexist. It should coexist. So I want you to worship. If you are in that, worship is a weapon. So we're going to sing, "You Are Worthy of My Song." Let's sing together.
Thank you so much for joining us. And a special thank you to those who give to Waymaker Church. It is because of you that our ministry is possible. Visit waymaker.church to give now. And if you enjoyed today's podcast, be sure to subscribe. You can also share it with your friends and family. Thanks again for listening. Now go make a way.